The Mishnah says, "Halokeach klei tashmish min ha'akum eshedarko lahatfil yatfil." And the Gemara derives the chiyuv tefila min haTorah from Parshas Klei Midjan, where it says v'toher. And the Gemara establishes that afilu kelim chadoshim b'mashma, a Jew buys a kli from a goy, he's chayiv in tefila, even though it's a kli chadash, there's no bliya sisur. And the Gemara proves this to her, yishanim v'libmam kechadoshim domu, even though he already subjected the kli to hechsher, whether it be hagol or libun, and he's removed all the blias iser, therefore the kli has the status of a kli chadash. What's the difference between a kli yashan after libun and a kli chadash? Vafilu hachi bay tvila. Then the Gemara establishes that kli sud amurim beparsha, Azusa de Sarbala is not chayiv in tefillah because it's not designated as a kli seuda. The Gemara thinks that if we would limit the parsha to used kelim and there is bliya, then it might be sensible to assume that we're talking about a kli seuda. And since the mitzvah of Itar is written in the parsha of kli midjan, then it makes sense that we're talking about a kli seuda because that's the case of Parshas Midjan of Hagol and Libun. Here's where we want to begin. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rabba Barav Ua, Lo Shanu El Bekuchin, Ukemaise Shahoya, Aval Sheulim Lo. It means that the Machayev of Tefillah is Lekicha. The object left the Rishus of the Goy and entered into the Rishus of Yisrael, and as a result of that Kinyan, there's a Chiv Tefillah. However, in the case of Sheulim, where the Israel did not purchase it, it still belongs to the guy, there's no chiyuv tefillah. What happens in a case where the Israel, we'll call him Reuven, purchases the kli, and he doesn't do tefillah, he lends the kli to Shimon. Shimon is now the shoel. Does Shimon have to do tefillah? So Tosa says, Omer Abenu Shmuel, Yisrael sheshal kli mi Yisrael chaver shekonu miakum, tzarech tefillah. And Tosis gives an explanation for this. He says, why is Shimon, the Sheni, chayev in tefillah? Kevan sheba lidei chiyuv tefillah biyad Yisrael arishon. Reuven, since he purchased the kli, and there was lekicha from the guy, therefore there's a chiyuv tefillah. As a result, even though Shimon was only a shoel, the Sheni was only a shoel, nevertheless he's chayev in tefillah because kvar Boli de chiyuv tefila biyad rishon. That's the Tosis. The Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Chaf says the following. The Tur says Yisrael shalokach min agoy v'shilo lechavero. If Reuven purchases the kli from a goy and now he lends it to Shimon, more or less, the tour is almost word for word what we saw in Tosfos. And so the Beis Yosef writes, "Kein kasu shama Tosfos," and he quotes other Rishonim, and then he quotes Dagos Ashri. Dagos Ashri says that what happens if the Rishon purchase the kli lachtoch klofim. No, it's not for the purpose of suda. And if it's not a kli suda, the Gemara establishes, like the case of Zuzah de Sarbala, there's no chiyuv tvila. Now, after the Rishon, after Reuven designates the kli that he purchased from the guy for klofim, lachtoch klofim, now he gives it over to Shimon. Shimon is now the Sheni. Says that also Shri ain't tzorich latbilo. Shimon is not chayiv in tevila. So it means, when do we assume that since Reuven purchased the kli and Shimon now as a shoel is chayiv in tevila? That's only because Reuven himself was chayiv in tevila, as Tosa says, ba Balchlal Chiyuv Biyad Rishon. But in the case where the Rishon, we'll call him Reuven, he purchased the Kli, not as a Kli Sudi, designated as a Kli Lachto Klofim, in such a case, since Reuven wasn't Chayev, therefore Shimon is not Chayev either. And at this point, in the Beis Yosef, after quoting the Agos Ashri, he has a Havamina and a Maskon. Hayanira Li. At this point, the Beis Yosef is not being medagdeik in the Lashon of the Agos Ashri. We'll soon see that obviously the Agos Ashri went out of his way to point out that the Sheni was a Shoel, he wasn't a Lokeach. But right now we don't know that. That's like classified information. Nira Li says the Beis Yosef, the Yisrael Shekana Kli Migoy Lischora. Here we have another example of a Kli that was purchased by a Jew from a Goy, but not for the purpose of Seuda. Here it was purchased for the purpose of making money on it, which means that he's going to sell it, he's going to rent it to others, whatever he's going to do with it. He has no intention to eat from it. In Machro Li Yisrael Acher, even if, until now we've been talking about the Sheni as a Shoel, now he's saying even if the Sheni was a Lokeach, Ein HaKone Tzorech Lat Bilo, Kevon Shalom Nischaya Viyada Rishon. The Beis Yosef is about to change his mind, but I'm interested, I'm curious to know what he thought when he first presented his Shita, that even if the Sheni purchases the Kli, and the Sheni clearly wants to use the Kli for the purpose of Suda, he, the Sheni, is parted from Tefillah, because he comes Mikoach HaRishon, and HaRishon Lo Nischayev, right? So the Kli was not Nischayev Miyad HaRishon, he says, "V'dami lahad agos ashri v'lo kol lachtoch v'lo litzarch suda." Just like in the case of lachtoch, so too in the case of schora, the rishon did not have a chiyuv tefila, and therefore the sheni is not chayav in chiyuv tefila. Yeah, that would make sense in the case of the agos ashri, in the case of Tosfos, where the sheni was a shoel, but now the sheni is a lokeach. But just before we try to spend a little time on understanding the Havamina of the Beis Yosef, I just want to point out that Lamaskoni writes, Aval, since I'm basing myself on the Agos Ashri, me the Siyem, because of Arei Shol Hu Biyado, means the Sheni is Shol, meaning the reason why Mimarav Shach, the Sheni, is Potter from Tefillah, is because the Rishon wasn't Chayev because he bought it L'Shem Klofim. The Sheni is not Chayev because he never bought it. He doesn't own it. He's coming as a shol mikoach harishon. She'el itself is not enough to engender a chiyuv tefillah. You need lekicha, and lekicha was done by Reuven. So mimarav shach, this falls in between, you know, in between the cracks. If you're talking about nischay biyad harishon, that you can't say because Reuven who purchased it, although he had a lekicha, but it wasn't l'shem kli suda. On the other hand, Shimon can't be chayev, even though he's designating it for suda because he didn't buy it. So therefore, Shimon, the Sheni, is not Chayiv in Tefillah. That's what it says in Agos Ashri. And therefore, the Beis Yosef concludes, Mashma Shimoyo Lakuach Biyado, that obviously the Agos Ashri would insist that if both conditions, Lakicha and L'Shem Kli Suda, were fulfilled, Biyado Shel Hasheni, in the case of Shimon who purchased it, so he's got Lakicha, his intention is to use it for Kli Suda, then Mimon Shach, Shimon is Chayev. However, if Shimon did not purchase the Kli, and therefore the Chiyuv upon Shimon is only a result of Reuven, because Reuven was Chayev in Tevilas Kli, but if Reuven purchased it L'Shem Klofim, and therefore Reuven was not chayev in tefillah, so you cannot say his chayev miyada rishon, and that's the svara that could have been mechayev the sheni, because it was the chayev miyada rishon. And in a case where the rishon bought it from the guy and he's going to use it for a klei suda, and if he now means Shimon the shoel, the sheni is going to be chayev in tefillah. But if Reuven wasn't mischayev, therefore Shimon is not chayev because he's the shoel. But if Shimon purchases it, then we can erase what happened to Reuven. He's completely out of the picture. We don't care whether Reuven was chayav in tefila, whether the kli was mischayav biyad Reuven. It's all irrelevant because Shimon has fulfilled all the conditions necessary for the kli in tefila. He purchased the kli as bialis Yisrael. He designated for a kli suda. What was the Beis Yosef thinking, however, in the Hava? Why did the Beis Yosef think originally that since Reuven, who purchased the kli for the purpose of Schora, therefore Shimon is potter even if he purchased the kli? And I first had a thought to say the following, that maybe what the Beis Yosef is saying over here is that the chakira is the following. When a kli is designated for anything other than Seuda, the case of Klofim, the case of Schora, what does that mean? Is that what we call a heder machayev? It's the absence of a machayev. Or no, it's a chalos ptur. It's a mafki, it's a poter. Let me give a few examples. Let's say in the case of chiv chal, you have an isa that's owned by Shutvim. One Shutv is Yisrael, the other is a Goy. So Tosus establishes in the first parak of Pesachim that in such a case there's no Chiv Chal. Why? Because Isas Akum Pturim in Achal. Frek Tosus, this he says in the name of the Rimi Orlainish, he says, but wait a minute, the Yisrael also owns the Isa, and Nehi, that the ownership of the Goy is not enough to be Mechayev Chala in this Yisrael, but the ownership of the Yisrael should be enough to be Mechayev Chala. And Tosus says that you see from this halacha of Akum, of Shut of Akum, that the Bailus of an Akum is a poter. It's not that the Bailus of an Akum is just the absence of a Mechayev. If that would be the case, then the Shut is the Bailus of the Yisrael would be enough to engender a Chiyu. Or for example, in Perek HaPoelim, in the sugya of Achilles Poel, there's a long tosis about Meruach Akum. The halacha is that if Yisrael owns Tvua, and it's not Chayev, it's not Tevel, unless there was a Meruach, what happens if the Akum does the Meruach? So the Gemara establishes that the Meruach Akum is Potter. But Tosus asks the following question: what happens in the case of Hefker? Hefker means that at the time of the Meruach, nobody owned it. And Tosus wants to suggest, and it's a machlokus between, if I remember correctly, Rabbi Nitam and the Rivam, Tosus, according to one day, says that even if the Yisrael now acquires ownership on the Tvua, but since it was after Meruach, the Meruach B'Shas Hefker is a poter. It's not just that the fact that it's Hefker means there's an absence of a Machayev, there's no Bailam, but rather it's a poter. And therefore the Yisrael, even when he acquires ownership over the Tvua, is poter. So I thought perhaps we could use the same lomdus here and apply it to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef wants to understand that if Reuven purchases this kli from a guy and he designates it as a kli schora or a kli kloflach, then he establishes a ptur, which is an irreversible ptur that's chal in the kli itself. In other words, there was a potential chiyuv in the kli, but that chiyuv is completely undermined by the kavana l'shem schora. And the nafkimina is, says the Beis Yosef, that now that Shimon purchases the kli from Reuven, so you and I would have said, and I'm certainly convinced that the Hagos HaShri would say, that although there was no chiv biyad Reuven, because Reuven didn't designate the kli l'shem suda, but now Shimon has all the elements of the Mechayev. Comes over to Beis Yosef and he says, no, the very moment that Reuven designated it, and Reuven is the Bailim, so he has Bailus over this, he designated it as a Kli Schora, that itself is a poter that undermines the Chiyuv Tvila itself. Meaning there are two dimensions to the Machayev of Tvila. There's the Chovas Cheftin and the Chovas Gafra. With regard to the Chovas Cheftin's concern, you need A, that the Israel purchase it, And then you need that the Yisrael designated for as a Kli Suda. What we're saying now is that if the second condition, namely the designation of Kli Suda, is missing, is lacking, that's not just the absence of a Machayev, but in a positive way that creates a Ptur. And it actually changes the whole nature of the Kli. The Kli is now considered Li'olam Vayet as a Kli that's parted from Tevilah. But Rabosai, if that would be the pshat in the Beis Yosef, then it comes out like this. Imagine if Reuven buys this kli l'shem schora, then he sells it to Shimon, and Shimon himself, after he purchases the kli, even though he designates it l'shem achila, he's potter. What happens now if Reuven would buy back the kli from Shimon? In other words, you could have two scenarios. You could say that Shimon sold it to Levi, and Levi is potter, or you could even say that Reuven, the original Bailam, buys it back. So this is very strange. It comes out that according to the Beis Yosef, if we're going to assume that according to the Beis Yosef, there's a new halacha here, which I don't know where he got it from, that the designation of the Kli as a Kli Schora is a poter, it completely undermines and negates the Chovas Kli, then it would come out that according to the Beis Yosef, if Reuven would be chozer v'lokeach as akli mishimon, Reuven would still remain potter, because the ptur, once it's chal in the chefts of the kli, will not allow a chiyuv to be chal on this kli. That sounds like a really big chiddush, and it's kashal aholmo. It's very difficult to understand, but perhaps we can lower our ambitions here in terms of the Beis Yosef and reinterpret the Beis Yosef's Havamina. The Beis Yosef doesn't think that there's a new din of a poter such that if Reuven comes back and he buys the kli, he designates it l'shem achila, l'shem suda, he would not be chai because the poter was already chal. But we could say something a little bit perhaps less radical. That what the Beis Yosef believes in his Havamina is that the Machayev of Tefillah is Lekicha Miyad Hagoy. It's not just the ownership of the Yisrael on the Kli, but it's the transfer from the Rishus Hagoy to the Rishus HaYisrael. That transfer of Bailus itself engenders the Chi of Tefillah. It's kind of like, if I can give a mashal, a matav redomeh, if you take the case of Gerus, a guy doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael, and now he wants to enter into Kedushas Yisrael, and whether it's a male or a female, it makes no difference. What does he or she need? Tvila, correct? So the tvila itself is going to effectuate a change of Kedusha. It's going to engender Kedusha. Here too, we could say that the critical moment that determines the Machayev of Tevila is that moment of transfer from the Rishus HaGoy to the Rishus Yisrael. And the Beis Yosef therefore says the following, that if that moment of transfer could not engender a chiyuv, then even if you'll have a transfer later on, let's say from Reuven to Shimon and Shimon to Levi and so forth and so on, that transfer could not engender a chiyuv tefillah, because although there's a maisa l'kicha and a kinyan on behalf of Shimon, and he's interested in using it as a kli suda, but the critical machayev of the tevila of tevila is the l'kicha miyad hagoy. Oh. Now, what happened? Reuven purchased it from the goy. That itself should engender a chiyuv tevila, because it goes from the bailus of a goy to the bailus of Yisrael. But the problem is, there's another precondition, and that is, it has to be designated as a Kli Suda. That designation of a Kli Suda, that doesn't have to be inherent in the original Lekicha. That's already a separate Tanai. That can be fulfilled by Shimon and Levi. But only, says the Beis Yosef, if Reuven, when he purchased the kli, he had a he designated the kli as a kli suda. So what I'm suggesting is the following: if the kli suda designation was lacking in the original lekicha, then a separate lekicha on the part of another Yisrael would not be enough to engender and be a substitute to replace the original lekicha miyad goy. However, if Reuven himself purchases it from the Yisrael, let's say he goes back and he buys it from Shimon, and in this case Reuven designates it as a kli suda, now that t'nai is fulfilled. That t'nai could have been fulfilled even by Shimon or Levi or etc. But the only problem is we need a lekicha machayevus, meaning there are two dimensions to the chi of tefillah. There's the chovas chefta and the chovas gabra. The chovas chefta is engendered simply by the lekicha of the Yisrael or the havaras rishus mi rishus goy to rishus Yisrael. That itself engenders a chiyuv in the heft itself. Now there's a question of the chovas gavra. The chovas gavra, which is to designate the kli as a kli suda, that can be fulfilled by any gavra, as long as you have the chovas chefta, meaning there's a two-stage process. There's A that causes B. A is the chovas chefta, and that could engender a chovas gavra. If Reuven himself initially designated the kli for purposes of what? Of chlafim or schora, then his purchase of the kli engenders a chiyuv in the kli, but it's conditional on the fact that he himself as a gavra will be chayiv, and for that he needs to designate it as a kli suda, which he failed to do so. Again, if he changes his mind at some point, that's called nimlach. Then eino chinami, now the second condition has been fulfilled, and since it was a kicha of Yisrael miyad goy, that itself will now engender the chiyuv. However, if he sells it to another Yisrael at the point in which he had not designated as a kli suda, then although the second Yisrael could designate it as a kli suda, that's not a problem. And in and of itself, that should engender the chiyuv tefillah. But nevertheless, since the original purchase of the kli miyad hagoy did not engender a chovas chefta in the kli, and that's because the bailim who bought the kli did not designate as a kli suda, then Shimon is potter, but Reuven, if he buys it back, would be chay. In any event, this is all the havamina of the Beis Yosef. L'maskana, the Beis Yosef changes his mind because of the diuk in Agol Sashri, and Shimon is not potter unless he was a shoel as a kli, because then we apply the miman of shach. He's potter mitfila because biyada rishon the kli was not a kli suda, biyada sheni there was no bailus to be machayev tefila. But if Shimon himself purchased the kli, then Agol Sashri says that by implication, and that's the Beis Yosef maskana, that Shimon is now chayav. There's no such din of a poter, that since the Rishon purchased it and designated for schoro, for cloth, and that itself engenders a ptur. There's no ptur, it's just a heder chiyuv. The second condition was not fulfilled. If the sheni is shoel, then although he has the second condition fulfilled because he designates it a kli suda, but we don't have the first condition of a lekicha. But if Shimon purchases it from Reuven and designates it as a kli suda, then eino chinami, he's chayev. So the maskana of the Beis Yosef is that Shimon the Sheni is chayev, even though Rishon Reuven bought it l'shen schora, but only if the Sheni purchased it. If the Sheni was a shoel, Then he's pot. I think that this maskana of the Beis Yosef is reflected in his psak in the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, although I have to admit that it's a little bit ambiguous. But I think we can learn the sefer from the Reisha. In the Reisha, the Mechaber here in Siman Kuf Chaf Sif Ches talks about a case where Reuven purchased the kli from a guy, and then he lends it to Shimon. And that's the case of Tosfos, that Shimon is chayiv in tefillah shekvar nischayiv biyad harishon. And then he writes V'yesh Misha Omer, and this is the Hagosa Shri, She'im lo lakho harisha l'tzarch suda ela lachtoch klofim v'chayotze bo, perhaps the chayotze bo is a reference to schora, ein tzarch tvila. Now what does that mean, ein tzarch tvila? He doesn't qualify it. It sounds like under all circumstances Shimon is potter from tvila because Rumei was potter from tvila. But I don't believe that that's the case, because I think that the Yesh Misha Omer has to be interpreted in light of the ratio. It's Ol al Musav al Adeliel. And just like in the case in the ratio, we're talking about Shimon as a Shoel, so to hear in the Sefer, the Yesh Misha Omer, Shimon is the Shoel. And in that sense, what the Machaber is paskining here is an exact duplicate of his Maskana in the Beis Yosef. And that's certainly the way the Rambam understands it. He says, Im kono Yisrael Hashem in a rishon litzarach suda, but if the sheni was not a shoel but rather a kone, then tzarech tvila gam hasheni gavi hasheni beis Yosef. And I believe that that's what the mechaber is saying over here. All this, which I call hakafa aleph, is the pre-Iser veheter understanding of the sugya. Let's just summarize it before the Iser veheter comes on the horizon. We would say the following: if the Rishon was potter from tefillah because he bought it l'shem klofim, then the Sheni may or may not be chayv in tefillah. It all depends. If the Sheni buys the kli, then if he has in mind l'shem suda, he's chayv. If the Sheni borrows the kli, then mimanav shach, he is potter. Now the Shach quotes the Iser veheter, and he writes on the words of the Mechaber, Ein Tzarech Tvila, Ubi Iser Veheter, Posaktit Tzarech Tvila. The Shach is not marich here as to why the Iser Veheter would have disagreed with this logic of the Mechaber, which is the Beis Yosef built on the Agos Hashri. But if you look in the Taz, In Sifkot Yud, the Taz elaborates because he quotes the Iser Veheter in the full text. He writes, "Kosav Beis Yosef, Hu Adinim Kano Lischora Ein Tzarch Tvila Bagos Hashem Esayim Baze Kevin Shushoil Biyado, because the Sheni borrowed it from the Rishon. Lomar Beis Yosef Shem Kano Tzarch Tvila Ukmosh Kosav Aramo Besom." Aval b'isa veheter kosav kevon dim hoya ha-Yisrael ha-Rishon rotze l'shamsho l'se'uda, l'shamsho meaning l'shtamish bob l'suda afilu ha-roi ha-Yitzarech l'tovlo is memela nischayev b'yado mikri. B'isa veheter disagrees with the Mechaber, and he bases himself on the halacha, which is codified here by the Ramah, that the Rishon who purchased the Shem Klofim, we don't mean it in an absolute way, under all circumstances, he doesn't need tefillah. Also, lo lishtamish lo tzarchi suda filu derech haroi. Supposing on an irregular basis, the Rishon decides he wants to use it for tzarchi suda, then he's chayav. He's not allowed to use it for achila for suda without a tvila. Afop, even though lachol itzarech klofim, he bought it for the sake of something other than suda. And now the Iser Veheter builds on that very halacha. He says that the Rishon is not mufka from the chiyuv tvila. Right now, in the present state, the Rishon has decided he's not using it for achila for suda, but he can change his mind at any moment. And therefore, based on that possibility that the Rishon might decide at some point to use it l'shem suuda, and then he would be required to do tefillah, therefore, nischayev biyado mikri. Again, the words of the Isav Eter need a little bit of hesber here. What does it mean, nischayev biyodo? It's not nischayev biyodo. It's potentially nischayev biyodo. So, Blin Eder, we will come back to that in just a minute. I just want to finish up the task. He has some other interesting things to say here. He says, Al Kain Yisrael, Asheni Ashol Men Tzarech L'tov L'tmiyoli Ma'od Al Ramah. He was wondering why the Ramah, who has the same logic that the Rishon might indeed, even though he purchased the Shem Klub, be chayav in tefillah if he decides to use it on a temporary basis for achilah, why he didn't mention the psak of the Isav Heter to argue against the Mechaber. Because basically the Ramah logically seems to be, according to the Taz's analysis, on the same page as the Isav Heter. He should have mentioned it. In any event, the Taz and the Shach both come to the conclusion that we have to worry, we have to be concerned with this Isav V'Heter, even though the Mechaber doesn't accept the Isav V'Heter, and even though the Ramah doesn't seem to accept the Isav V'Heter, but nevertheless, we should require Tevilah, and therefore, if the Rishon purchases it L'Shem Schora, and the Sheni is Shoel, now the Sheni needs Tevilah. However, since it's only mitzad chumra and safek in order to be yotzei the shita of the isav heter, therefore yesh lad below bracha. Interesting, the Chochmas Adam in the Binas Adam says the following. This is Klal Ayin Gimel, and he writes the following. He says Sifches Yisrael shekana kli minachri vishilo lechavero. So again, if the Rishon bought it, L'shem Suda, is the Sheni is chayiv in tefillah, also L'shtamish v'atshi yitpo. For im the Rishon lo kana l'tzorchei Suda, lachto po klofi v'chayotze l'schora, kevin shalom is chayiv v'yad a Rishon litpo, because the Rishon is not using it for tzorchei Suda, is the Sheni ain't tzorch tefillah. So at this point, if we take a deep breath, he paskins like the Mechaber, like the Beis Yosef. However, now he says that Yesh Omrim, there are those who say that Tzarech Tvila, and therefore he says Yesh Litpo below Bracha over Klis Chuchis. This is what the Chochmas Adam adds over here. If you have a glassware, which he says, since it's only the Rabbanu, we have a Safek here in the Psak, Yesh Lismoch Li Eis HaTzarech Ulish Tamish Bo Kach. Again, I would be hesitant to publicize this halacha because, you know, we want to make sure that a lot of people don't understand that a kli schuchis needs tefillah. So I don't know if you saw it, the makel in a kli schuchis, they may come to the conclusion. But I'm not here to be goes exeris. I'm just saying that the lamais of the Chochmas Adam says yesh lahakel yesh atzorech and lishtamish bo without tefillah in the case of a kli schuchis, and I guess that would be the rule of thumb for any time you see in the halacha that it's tzarech tvila below bracha. The Taz finishes up by saying that in the case of a chenvani who lends out his kli to someone, and now the shoel is going to be tovel, he's going to be matbil the kli without a bracha. He says, "Yesh lo diel shel lemishi yikno sami menu acher kach shelo yit vilenu shenis bebracha." You know, if let's say Reuven buys a kli l'shem schora, he's the chenvani. Now he lends it to Shimon. We're going to be machmir like this of a heter, and Shimon is going to require tvila. Now Shimon finishes using it; he returns it to Reuven. Reuven now sells it to Levi. So it's very important that Reuven notify Levi that there already was a tefila, because otherwise Levi might be tempted to think that he's chayiv in tefila and he should make a bracha on it, so just to save him from a bracha levatola. Therefore, Reuven should notify Levi that the kli was already subject to tefila. The one who argues with the Isav V'Heter in a very head-on, strong way is the Pri Chadash. In this particular edition, it's on page 213, and it's Se'if Chav Beis. He says b'sefer isavahetar cholek olav b'zeh. He argues on the mechaber. Kevan dim haya haYisrael arishon rotze l'shamshol l'suda filu bi'aroi haYitzarch l'tovlo b'melin ischay v'yado mikri v'Yisrael hashol v'menu sarach tefila ad kan. He says u'svar shehizkar mechaber ikar. He says we can accept the mechaber and just completely drop the Yisrael v'heter and don't worry about the shach, don't worry about the taz, don't worry about the chokhmas adam. Well, he came much later. He says the following, Chada, I have two arguments against the Yisrael v'heter. The first one is, well, the Yisrael v'heter is basing himself on the fact that if Reuven, the Rishon, would use the kli, the Derech HaRoi, for Sudi v'chayav, and if it's Mikri Babi Yodah B'yad HaRishon, he says the following, Lo Yibol Yad Chiyuv B'yad HaRishon Klal, he says there's no Chiyuv B'yad HaRishon, even if he uses it B'derech HaRoi, he would not be chayav. Mishum de Bekli as Linon Bosa Rov Tashmisho. So before we get to the Pri Chodesh's second argument and objection against the Yisrael v'Heter, I just want to point out that I don't think the Pri Chodesh here is alone, and the halacha of Azlina Bosa Rov Tashmisho is accepted here by the Pisrei Tshuva in Kuf Chaf Sifkat and Vav. In the name of the Tshuva Shev Yaakov, he speaks about a kli that's used early in the stage, way before Bishul, and therefore it's like the Sakin Shel Shechita, which according to one opinion doesn't need tefillah because it's way before the Royal Achila stage. It's not cooking something that will be Royal Achila like a kli Bishul. And he's speaking here about a kind of an oven that has within it certain kalim, and you heat up water in those kalim, and that water is used for lisha, for the purpose of kneading the dough, and therefore ain't zark tefillah because kneading is too early in the stage. It's rachok miod mi suuda. Too many stages removed. So any kli that's used in the context of lisha does not need tefillah. He says the afal and afim he kli mateches, even if this kli inside the tanur is made of metal. He says the afal pi de pa'amim shofchim mi mayim chamim bote. Sometimes you use the water in that hot water in that kli for tea. Mi kol makom, he says holchin acharov tashmisho. So you see that the svara of the Pri Chodesh of Holchin Acharov Tashmisho, and that which you do by Roy is not relevant. It doesn't engender a Chiyuv Tevila. That's accepted not just by the Pri Chodesh, by the Tshuvas Shev Yaakov, and the Pisrei Tshuva seems to accept that Lalach. And it's not just the Pri Chodesh and the Shev Yaakov, it's also the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Simon Kuf Chaf, Se'if Mem, he writes the following. He says, Barur, it's clear to me, he says, Kibob ha'gol ha'kaimel adol k'nacharov tashmishal ha'kli. So if you have a kli that's used mostly b'mayim as a kli bishul, but sometimes it's used for tzli and without the medium of water, and it should require libum. We have our lochavas lina basarov tashmishu is kmochein. So too, in a parallel way, b'din tefilas kalim in akli shalolit tzarach sudas. Primarily, it's designated as a kli lachtoch bo as a klofin. He says afal bisha b'mikre on certain occasions accidentally he choteh bo is a machol. Is mikol makom ain't tzarach tefillah. So we have now a whole bunch of poskim from the Pri Chodesh all the way down to the Aruch HaShulchan, who would argue with the Yisrael v'Heter on the first grounds, namely that since he could use it for, he decides to use it on an aroi basis for a suda, therefore he's chayav in tefillah. So that halacha is in fact codified by the Ramah, but nevertheless, it's not necessarily accepted la'alacha. And if you want to take that kli and put it into the mikvah, my personal recommendation would be not to make a bracha on it. And maybe it's a kli z'chuchis, the chayyadim would say you're allowed to use it without tefillah. I don't know. But then we get ad kana kof aleph, that's the pre-chad. Now we go, the pre-chadish goes on, and he says something much more fundamental in his objection against the use of a head. He says, v'su, keva charisha l'loko l'tzarchei su'uda, ain't kan ata the other few tviyaklal. What do you want to tell me? That the sheni, who's the shoel, is chayav because it's basically a chiyuv tefillah as a result of the rishon. That's not true at all. Right now, there's no chiyuv tefillah. Meaning, I think he's saying like this: I feel in Timsal, even if I would grant you your first premise, that potentially it could be that the rishon would be chayav, but right now, atal is atal, biyado ain kan chiyuv tefillah. Is therefore gamasheni shum shol biyado ain lo chiyuv tefillah. No, there's Vimarashat, there's no Chiyuv Tefillah. Ain't got Chiyuv Tefillah unless the Rishon was Lachal Litzarach Sudo or the Sheni Kano Mea Rishon Litzarach Sudo. No, you have to have both conditions here. Either the Rishon purchased it for the purpose of Sudo, or the Sheni at least purchased it for the purpose of Sudo. But if the Rishon purchased it as a Kli, Latok was a Klofim, and the Sheni was a Shoel, so Vimarashat, there's no way of obligating the Sheni to show. If he says, Ashol Kelim Yisrael Chenvani Litzarach Su'udha, if you have a Chenvani who makes money by giving out his Kelim, and now someone borrows the Kelim for the purpose of Su'udha, Yachol Lishtamish Bahem below Tevilah. This is going to be a great kula for restaurants and the like. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. Udolo Kashachvatat. And he doesn't. And we've seen this over and over again in the pre-college. He's not impressed with anybody. He has what you call break the places, and he says what he thinks, and he does what he says. Udeloka shafa tashakoshu is far as he's ahead to let srichon tfila below bracha the lesser. The lesser means don't even bother wasting your time with the east of ahead. So I'd like to try to analyze with you the machlokas here between the Isa V'Heter and the Pre-Chadosh, or between the Isa V'Heter and the Beis Yosef. And perhaps we could say the following. The Pre-Chadosh is of the opinion that, like the Beis Yosef, we need a Chiyuv Biyad HaRishon. What does that mean? There's a halacha that you need a Rishus HaMechayevus. What constitutes a Rishus HaMechayevus? According to the Pre-Chadosh, a Rishus HaMechayevus is identical with a Chiyuv Tefillah. If the purchase and the Rishus of the Yisrael from the Goy doesn't engender a Chiyuv Tefillah, that's not a Rishus HaMechayevus. And therefore, there's no reason to be Mechayev the Sheni who's a Shoel Biyado. He doesn't have a Chiyuv Tefillah. If the Rishon Lachol Litzarach Suda, that's a Rishus HaMechayevus. If the Sheni purchases it and he designates it as a Kli Suda, that's a Rishus HaMechayevus. But if the Sheni is only a Shoel and the Rishon is not interested in using the Kli for Suda, there's no Rishus HaMechayevus. Comes the Yisavahet and he says no. What defines a Rishus HaMechayevus? A Rishus HaMechayevus means that if this Kinyan could lead to a Chiyuv Tefillah, if there's a potential for a Chiyuv Tefillah, that means if the Rishon would decide to use the Kli, even both in Arai, for Suda, that itself is enough to engender and to clinch a Rishus HaMechayevus now. Even though right now the Rishon has not designated it and is not interested in using it for a Kli Suda, but nevertheless, It's a Rishus HaMechayevus. I'll prove it to you, says the Isser Heta. It has to be a Rishus HaMechayevus. If it's not a Rishus HaMechayevus, how could it be that a change of thought, a change of mind, in which the first Bailin decide, well, I'm going to use it for lunch today, that itself engenders a Chiyuv? It must be, therefore, that the Rishus itself is a Rishus HaMechayevus. And then Achyamin is the Sheni, the Shoel, because he's using the Litzorach Suda. And that's the lashon of Isa Veheta, Nischayev Biyado Mikri. It's already considered a Rishus HaMechayevus Biyado Rishon. According to the Brit Chadash, the Rishus now is Rishus HaPtura. Aye, the Rishon could decide that he wants to use it as a Kli Suda. Okay, that's called Nimlach. Then he changes his mind, and he decides that it's a Kli Suda. If he makes it into a Kli Suda, then it becomes Chayev. But the Rishus itself is a Rishus HaPtura. But Rabosai, I was thinking, perhaps we could explain the machlokas between the Isa Veheter and the Prichadosh in a different way. They're not arguing about whether the Rishon, who purchased the Kli from a guy, L'shem Klofim, whether his Rishus is a Rishus of Machayevus. No. The machlokas is about how to understand these two conditions. Condition number one, L'kicha Miyad HaGoy, and condition number two, Yud HaKli, designating the Kli, L'tzorech Su'ud. The Isa Veheta understands that these two conditions are fundamentally different one from the other. The first condition of L'kichas Yisrael Miyad HaGoy, that condition is enough to clinch a Chovas Cheftza in the Kli itself. Regardless, irrelevant to whether or not this Kli is going to be designated as a Kli Suda. The second condition, namely that the Kli has to be designated as a Kli Suda, that's a Tanai in the Chovas Gavra. And if so, as such, the Gavra could come along, says the Isa Veheter, and decide, even though he's not purchasing the Kli, to designate it as a Kli Suda. Meaning, according to the Isa Veheter, you can split fundamentally between these two conditions. The first condition is necessary and sufficient to engender a Chovas Cheftza. Once the Chovas Cheftza is there, now we have a different question. There's a Tnai in the Chovas Gavra of Klei Suda. And it doesn't matter who fulfills that Tnai. If the Shoel, even though he did not purchase the Kli, has in mind to use it as a Kli Suda, then that itself is a fulfillment of the Tanai for the Chovas Gavra. Are you asking if the Cheftz itself doesn't have any Chov in it? The answer is the very Lekicha of the Yisrael Ben Agoy, even though he didn't designate it for the purpose of Shimush, when he wants to eat it, then he'll have a Chovas Gavra. He's not, when he wants to eat from it, but he's not eating from it. Okay, so we'll suspend and postpone the Chovas Gavra. It's in deep freeze. But the Cheftz Shel Kli is already nitvas in the Chovas Cheftz because, and by virtue of the Kinyan of the Kli. And therefore, the Isa Veheter holds that if the Sheni is a Shoel, and the Cheftz of the Kli is already Nitvas B'Tefila, because of the Likichas HaRishon, now that the Shoel is Miyai the Kli for Suda, Memela, the Chovas Gavras Chal on the Shoel. And I believe that according to this second definition of the Isa Veheter, what would be if the Rishon was Tovel the Kli? I'll call it Avar V'Tavel, meaning the Rishon purchased the Kli from a guy, has in mind to Lachtof HaKlofim, and he went ahead and was Tovel the Kli. Is that Tvila meaningful? And what I'd like to suggest is that insofar as the Lekicha Miyad HaGoy is enough to engender the Chovas Cheftza, that even though the Gavra is part of it, the Tvila is still meaningful. Masha'en came the Pri Chadosh doesn't hold that they're two separate Tnoim, two separate Dinim over here. He holds that the Din of Kli Suda is a Tnai in the Lekicha Mechayeves. The Lekicha Mechayeves must be L'shem Suda. If it was a Lekicha L'shem Klofim, then because the second element, the second condition is not fulfilled, then the Lekicha itself doesn't engender a Chovas Cheftza, and therefore the Pri Chadosh would say it's Pshita Milsa, that if the Rishon was Avar V'Taval, that Tvila would be totally meaningless. And it wouldn't be Chal at all. So according to the Pri Chodesh, the Sheni for sure is a Shoel, is not Chayiv in Tefillah, because there's no Lekicha of a Kli Suda. Until you have a Lekicha of a Kli Suda, there's no Chovas Chefta, and therefore, who cares if the Shoel is now eating out of the Kli? The Chefta of the Kli, it doesn't lend itself, it's not Nitvas in a Chovas Tefillah. Because that Chovas Tefillah requires a Lekicha of Kli Suda. The only thing is, Rabosa, I'm very excited about the second interpretation, but it doesn't fit that well into the language of the Issa V'Heta. Because if you remember, the Issa V'Heta, as quoted by the Taz, adds a whole svar over here, that if the Rishon would have wanted to use it for a Suda, even Varoi, he'd be Chayiv in Tefillah. And therefore, it's Mikri, it's considered Nischayiv V'Yad HaRishon. It sounds more like our first pshat, that in order to engender Rishus HaMechayeves, you can prove that and establish that by the fact that the Rishon might indeed become Chayev in Tefillah. Again, the Pre-Chodesh is not impressed with that, because that's Nimlach. But perhaps I can still salvage the second pshat. I just have to make a little bit of a change. And perhaps we could say that in this Chalos Chovas Cheftza through Lekicha, you need at least the Lekicha that's Nitvas in a Chovas Gavra. Meaning, there is an overlap here, some Kesha, some connection between the Chovas Cheftza and the Chovas Gavra. They're not just totally separate according to the Yisavet. The connecting point here is that the Chovas Cheftza can only emerge if there's a possibility at least that as a result of this Lekicha you may have a Chovas Gavra as well. I don't need the Chovas Gavra before, as in fact the Rishon did not make any sort of change of heart and decide that he wants to use the Kli for Sud even on a temporary basis. But the very fact that there's a potential to do so means that his Lekicha could engender a Chovas Cheftza even without the Chovas Gavra, but only because of the possibility of a Chovas Gavra. Now, what does all this have to do with Purim? So a lot of people buy Kalim in order to give Mishloach Manos. And they want to be very nice to the Makabel without having to hassle him with Tevilah. And this could be a Musar Haskel for gifts at weddings, you know, or showers and all the like. You know, if you've ever seen a Kala after the Vart, you know, she's got Kalim coming up out of her ears, and now she has to take them all to the mikvah. So in any event, the Beis Yosef, it could be that in this case, it's not such a great idea to be Tovel the Kli. What do I mean? When you purchase a Kli for the sake of Mishloach Manos, then you're not going to use the Kli as a Kli Suda. From your purpose, we'll call it a Kli Mishloach Manos. And therefore, you're Potter from Tevilah. Now, what happens? You went ahead and you would Tovel it. So, according to the Issur V'Heter, Mela, maybe that Tevilah could be meaningful. Maybe, according to that second shot, for sure, because since the purchase itself engenders some sort of Chovas Cheftza, and if the Rishon would have decided that, you know, if I buy a Kli for you, you know, to give you Mishloach Manos, then I said, you know what, I think I need the Kli for whatever reason, then I'd be Chayiv in Tevilah. So the Issur V'Heter could kick in here, and therefore the Rishon is already considered Nischayiv V'Yad HaRishon, and therefore his Tevilah would be meaningful. And now when he gives the Mishloach Manos, the Mekabel doesn't have to be Tovel. But if I go like the Beis Yosef and Kolshkin, if I go like the Pri Chadash, that the Rishon is Potur, completely Potur, and it's not Nischayiv V'Yad HaKlal, there's no Chovas Cheftza at all, Haraya, the Shoel would not be Chayiv according to the Issur V'Heter, according to Beis Yosef. Is Memele Tefillah is meaningless. So lo mi boy, that if you want to be Tovil this Kli before you send it as Mishloach Manos, you're going to do so without a Bracha. But I'm even confused about whether it's a good idea to be Tovil to begin with, even without a Bracha, because what you're going to do is you're going to transmit, so to speak, either verbally, Lehedge, or with subliminal messages, you know, by implication, you're going to submit a message to the Makabel that he or she doesn't need Tevilah. And that's not so. Especially according to the Pri Chodesh, who says that we reject completely the Taz and the Shach. But even if you go with the Taz and the Shach, it's only a Sofek every Paschal like the Yisavet. And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, the Makabel of the Mishloach Manos is going to have to do Tevilah anyway. You want to save him the hassle of having to take it to the mikvah. So then I would recommend maybe being makna the kli through zchiya yidei acher, zochu the other shul for fun of, you know, something like they do for doing when you want to bring something for a bottle of wine for Shabbos, and therefore once you mezakal yidei acher, so now the makabel already owns the kli. If he already owns the kli, and we assume, because otherwise there's no problem, we have to be, but we assume he, the makabel, is going to use it for a kli, especially the hamantasher on top of the kli. So in such a case, the tefillah would be meaningful through the halach of zok and the other shalom b'fanav. But again, I have to assume that the owner of the kli is the makabel here, and that zok and the other shalom b'fanav could work. But another nafkamina tarantai discussion today is the case of a misada. Or for example, you're on a plane. Okay, so I never get a chance to sit in first class and not even in business class. But let's say you're one of these frequent flyers, right? Well, somebody's footing the bill. And anyone who's footing the bill for first class, that's big bucks. But in any event, so now what they do is they serve you food on Kalim. And these kelim need tefillah. The food is all kosher, but the kelim were not taken to tefillah. Again, it could be the Rav Amashir will in the Tudah will testify for you that it was tovah. But lo zogin, it wasn't tovah. Oh. Are you allowed to eat from that kli? L'chora, this is exactly our sugya. Why? Because lo nischayav yad rishon. The restaurant proprietor purchased the kelim for the sake of schora. He's not interested in using it for as klei suda. But the sheni is not an owner of the kli. I come into a restaurant, call me a shoel, but that's about it. So therefore, according to Beis Yosef and according to Pri Chadash, there's no problem here. We can be makel, and lechora there's no need for tefillah. But if we want to be machmir, like the Issa v'Heter, which is certainly the opinion of the Shach and the Taz, albeit without a bracha, then we would not be allowed to eat from these kelim without a bracha. Without tefillah. Again, the ball game is not over because at least I can use a kli zchuchas. The question is, what is the silverware? You know, maybe the food is being brought out in glassware, or perhaps in China. And I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, Rav Nissen Alpert, over Shalom, that China today does not need tefillah at all. My friend Alan Dubin was once on his way to the mikvah after he got married with tons of China ware. And he met Rav Alpert on the way. Rav Alpert started laughing at him. He said, "Why are you going to the mikvah?" He says, "But it's glazed." So he said that's a look of kunya, you know, of glazed earthenware. So he said, in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that our process of what we call glazed earthenware is not at all what the Gemara had in mind. What the Gemara had in mind is that they had an earthenware kli, and then they added an entire layer of glass inside the kli. Here what they do is they add glass during the heating process in order to give extra strength to the earthenware, but it's certainly not a clay schuchis, and it doesn't require tefillah. But be that as it may, let's say you're in a restaurant and they bring you out a soup. How are you going to eat that soup? Correct? According to Shach and the Taz, it's a bit complicated, I mean, to do tefillah on this clay. And you know, if let's say the soup bowl is not metal, so if you're not makbid, if you're on a date, this is not well recommended, but you can drink the soup straight out of the plate. But if you're on a date, you want to drink the soup with a spoon, and the spoon is made of metal, and according to Shach and Taz, it needs tefillah if the proprietor did not do tefillah. So it becomes a little bit of a complicated business. Again, if you're using disposables, then you're okay. The Darkei Tshuva quotes the Shevet Sofer, and he says, halacha lemaisa, in the case of restaurants, you're allowed to be mekil, legabi kli zchuchas, just like we saw a logic here in the Chayyadam, the Chafas Adam, that in the case of a safek, because of the Yisvetis Kumra, we can be mekil and kli zchuchas, which are only derabban. But Rabosai, the Pri Chadosh himself seems to waver back and forth, and he's not so sure that he's comfortable with the Shevet Sofer. And I think the reason for this is Poshut. What are we saying? We're saying that Lo Nischayev B'Yadar Rishon, because the Rishon purchased it L'Shem Schor, and not L'Shem Klei Suva. What does it mean? Does that mean, according to the Shevet Sofer, that in order for it to be a Klei Suda, the Balabayas who purchased the Kli has to eat from the Kli or intend to eat from the Kli? Otherwise, it's not a Klei Suda. What if he wants to use it to feed other people? In the case of a restaurant, that's not a Kli Schera where he's renting it out. That is a Kli which is designated for a Suda. Albeit not his Suda, he's not eating from the Kli, but somebody's Suda. And therefore I wonder, and that's what I think the Darki Tshuva is referring to, well, as the Hungarians would say, Darki Tshuva, I think what he's saying is that the Shevet Sofer is far from Poshut. It's almost like he's assuming that in order for it to be Kli Suda, he who purchases it has to intend to use it b'chvod of Atzmo for Suda. Mecha Teisei, it's a Kli Suda. Whether he's going to use it or someone else is going to use it.
That's obvious. The Afusa and the Gemara is mashma not that way, because the limud that they have for Kli Seuda is called the Rosh Yavo Be'esh, and the only thing which is derech to be Yavo Be'esh is a Kli Seuda. So if it's in a restaurant and people are eating from it, it's also Yavo Be'esh.
Right. So that would support the Daki Tshuva against the Shevet Sofer. I just want to conclude with one last point here of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, as we said, supports the position of the Pichadosh that has lead in Basar Rov Tashmish. But what does the Aruch HaShulchan add here? A beautiful Kal V'chomer. Even though Chazal say you're not to be Dorish Kal V'chomer Me'atzvo. But he says the following. He says, Kal V'chomer Advarin. Im li'in ha'gola she'bolua b'tocho v'yein choshishin v'yein choshishin l'mikra. Even so, we don't care about the few or single occasion that he used it for Isur, and it was Bolea Isur. And nevertheless, we're going to suffice with Hagola. We don't need Libun, right, in the case where it was used over the fire. Is Kolshkein, the lo mikri klei suda, mipnei amikre? And therefore, he reinterprets the Isur v'heter, and he says, when the Isur v'heter says that the Rishon who purchased it for Klofim might decide to use it be often a roi, what he meant to say was nirali kavanoso, and here he reinterprets the Isur v'heter. Kishakana lechatchila l'shem kach, he purchased it from the get-go for two purposes. Number one, ikar lechituch haklofim ulefrakim kidei lachtoch bo lechem v'kai gavna amrinon shevadai tzorach tfila. But if he was kone it l'shem klofim, what the Aruch HaShulchan is, he's trying to collapse the two different conditions that we spoke about today. And he's saying that built into the condition of purchasing is that it has to be designated as a Kli Suda. He did that, in fact, albeit for the minority occasions, but that was his intention, and that was inherent in the Kinyan itself. And then he goes and he says, but I don't know what to do with the Ramah. Because if you open up the Ramah says explicitly that he's chayav afal bishalokho litzarach klofim. So the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't know what to do with this. What does it mean, lokho litzarach klofim? If he's lokho litzarach klofim, it's not a Kli Suda. How can it be a Kli Suda? Kal v'chomer from Agol. So I thought that the poshut answer to this, the pircha to the Kal v'chomer, is that in the case of Hagola, the Torah says that you can be matir a Kli through Hagola. And the Torah sets up what the conditions for that matir is. The matir will be chal if it's rov tashmish al yidei mayim. However, here in the case of tefillah, what we're saying is that we're not deciding whether or not you need the matir of tefillah. We're trying to decide what the nature of the kli is. And the only person on the face of the earth who has control and can determine what the nature of the kli is and what its shame is the Bialim. If the Bialim decide that they want to use it for Suda, then it's Gan Shayach, it's very logical to assume that because they want to use it L'Shem Suda, they're Koveya a Chalo Shem Kli Suda. The fact that it's Rov Tashmisho for Klofim is not relevant. That doesn't undermine the fact that they designate it now l'shem suda, and that gives it and engenders l'shem kli suda. Ay agola, agola is totally barov. That's because that's how the halacha was established. The Torah established the halacha of how to be mati this kli in the case of kli midshan that has a bilua of iser in it. And the Torah says that the matir is agola. The Torah is deciding between agola and libud which matir applies. Okay, Rabbi Osei, we'll stop here. Wish everyone a happy Purim.
I think they say, but I'm not sure, but even so, when you talk one, it's not so posh. It could be,
especially if it needs a tefillah now. It's a good guy, so it's a little bit cuddly.
If I have a guy, I might go to Shimi and I plan to give it to his own. Shimi might come and say, I don't want to stitch it. So almost. So for him, it was never kisuda either, because that was just see the dish and moved on with.
So I just want to mention the Rashba Shita in Zachary on the Shul fun of is that it works a little bit, Fred. Meaning, if at the end of the day when I give it to you, you say, "Wow, shkoyach, I'm so happy to have it," or whatever it might be, then it's Zachary on the Shul fun of. If at the end of the day, the Makabel says, "I don't want it," then it's not a schus. You can't force it back.
So because of that, that's why.
So here in this case, again, it's a little tricky because I mean, what gives me the right to assume that the recipient is going to be happy with the kli?
Right, exactly.
Okay, but let's say it's a really nice kli. You know, it's got colored impressions. It's an artistic work, and so on and so on. Then, to the extent in which I can assume that he'll be very happy with the kli, maybe even happy with the kli in the Hamikdash. So therefore, Zachar Yodim Shalom B'Fanav could apply. Yeah. And I think that's the only way of taking it to the mikvah, because
to use it first.
Because again, if you're going to take it to the mikvah, and you know, now they have situations where you can buy it and they tovel it in the store. So if you're going to take it to the mikvah, you tovel it. Then what's the Shachar Tas going to say? Yeah. I mean, they're machmir for the Yisur Heta, going to the Yisur Heta. No, I meant to say the opposite. What I meant to say is that according to the Beis Yosef in the Pri Chadash, since you have no intention of using it as a kli suda, then what's going to be? Unless you're mezakeh de'acher, the tefillah itself is meaningless. And that's what I think is the Ikar Halacha, like the
Beis Yosef. Don't tovel it and tell them it's not tovel. If you want to keep it, tovel it.
Right. Use it, I don't know. You know, you're buying it in the store and they're wrapping it up. But okay, yeah, if you use it, that's okay. Even then, I'm not sure exactly. You have to know what.
Really right. You're
you have to know how to define, you know, kavana. You know, if you really are thirsty, just to fool yourself and take a bite, you know, out of something. Also, you know, you have the problem of plates. If they're flat plates, that's the heter of Shlomo Zalman Aruch. But if you get invited by an irreligious Jew, and you know the food is kosher, so what do you do? See, he claims that in the case of a plate, you're not chayv in tefil because you're just removing the food from the plate. In the case of the soup or the spoon, you're eating with the kli. So you're going to have to get into all these different discussions.
So he said not to make
bracha
on a plate?
I don't know. I have to check out. But I think he's saying you don't even... He's saying that you can rely on it, I think, liyeh satzor. You know, if you got invited to someone's house. But that's a classical problem.
Right.
My father faces this problem all the time. Like 50 years in Rabbanus, you know, you got invited to people who would feed him, and they would be insulted if he said he couldn't eat from them. So he tried to make a choklo yam and not eat anywhere. And that was a little bit more beneficial. But he went through different stages in his rabbanus, and when he got to the later stages, there were cases where he felt the food was absolutely kosher, and they even showed him, you know, they would show him the supervision on the food, but it was a problem of tefillas kelim.
Okay.
I was going to talk to you about this book, but I didn't get a chance.
My father got a lot of this morning in Rosh
Hashanah. Oh, yeah? That's great. Baruch Hashem.
It was Clarence coming
back. When is he moving here? I need another person this year.
There's another person this year. Now we have three buildings first. We asked them all a few weeks ago to have a picture.
Right.
Then a picture. It's not every week. You come in and it's...